Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Welcome into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here. And I'm going to be quite honest. There's not going to be a lot of sugarcoating from me today, John. And we're going to hear from Ronnie Dyla in just a moment. I know he's at the podium right now. But before we do that, I said in the Five Stripes Countdown that this would be the worst loss of the season if Atlanta United is not able to pick up points in this one, and we sat there and watched it, and nothing that happened on the field changed my mind. It would have been a problematic draw. The fact that it was a loss and you weren't able to even rescue a single point at home, closing out a homestand, which you entered with the goal of 9 points in three games. You leave with 4 points in three games. Far from ideal. And again, it's just hopefully the lowest point of the season, and hopefully there's a path up from here.
Most frustrating loss of the season, I would think, with all of the chances that Atlanta United had, hitting the crossbar, hitting the post, all of the chances that were there, you know, the imagination that was on display, you know, Miggy with the bicycle kick and all those kinds of things. I think it ranks up there on a bunch of different levels as probably one of the more frustrating loss of the season. You know, one of, if not the most frustrating loss, because of the opportunities that you had, the chances that were created, and not getting the ball in the back of the net past Aljaz Ivicic, and I'll get into his numbers as we go. But once again, just across the board, you had a homestand coming in where you had a lot of promise. You had a lot of ideas that you wanted to have done, whether it was 7 points or nine or what have you, and you only end up with four. And now you have to go on the road to a place like Chester, Pennsylvania, and you've got to try and make some hay up there next weekend, because then after that it's going to Central Florida taking on the Purple team, and then
that's
you're
right.
Coming back here on May 3rd to go up against the team in Nashville who is offensively challenged at times. And so, you know, you have created this situation for yourself, only getting the one win, hitting each column once, and that's not necessarily a good thing when you have a three-match homestand.
Yeah, so we'll hear more from John Nelson, but our partner Madison Cruz also was able to get the thoughts of manager Ronnie Dyla after a disappointing result.
Coach, what was missing tonight from the team?
We don't take our chances today. I think we started well. We had some really good chances. I think they lost, and then we get the goal, get the offside, and then hit the bar. We did a lot of things today, and then I think they lost 15-20 minutes of the second half. My first half was very bad. We open up, and they get the penalty, very unnecessary to give that in that situation, but okay. So then we come under and we make some changes in the break, and I think we had full control in the second half. We have so many chances and we cannot put it in. So, you know, we can't do so much more than we do in the second half. We just need to score. they have nothing except the transition in the when we go for it in the end of the game. So I'm disappointed in the last last 20 minutes in the second half, first half. But second half, I think we are playing good. We have full control of them. We have enough chances to win the game.
Going ahead to next week, what are some things you want to focus on with the team before you guys go on the road to Philly?
We just have to, you know, focus on what we do good. That's the most important now, and it's important that we stay together, everybody. That's, you know, now we are disappointed that we don't get more than 4 points in these home games. But we need to deal with that, and now we need all our fans, everybody, to stay together now, so we lift as a group, because we know what we should have. You know, everybody see what we have today, the opportunities we have. But it's crazy that we sit here with 0 points, and almost that I can't believe it.
Awesome, thank you, coach.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to hear that because it's just more of the same. It's the same storyline we've been talking about, and it is essentially performance compared with results. And we talked about it in game. You're creating chances and you're not scoring goals. And then overall, you're outperforming teams and you're not picking up points. It's one of the bigger issues. And it's the reason that one, it's a reason you do still feel some bit of optimism for the team, because in a different world, you could just be completely down. But at some point, you just got to get lucky, and that hasn't happened so far. Quick look at the numbers. Statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. 56% possession over to 44 for New England. 19-12 edge on shots for Atlanta United. 7 shots on goal for New England. 6 for Atlanta. New England with a 1.8 XG and a lot of that came, obviously, on the penalty kick, and then a breakaway gets a pretty fair amount, even though Atlanta United was able to stop that. The XG for Atlanta is 2.8, and there's just not much more to be said. It's a team that just needs a good bounce, and it had a couple of unlucky bounces in terms of one coming off the crossbar earlier from Lotte Loth, one coming off the right, or depending on which way you're facing from the goal or to the goal, to the goalie's left post. That one's off the head of Jamal Thiaré. Couple of deflections off of the post as well. And they just need something good. And that is not happening for Atlanta United right now. And it's just one of those things, John, where we're sitting here and I'm finding it week after week tougher and tougher to complement the performance with another week gone by and the result not there.
Yeah, and full math and full disclosure here, the numbers that you gave with Atlanta United in the ascendancy in the couple of the stats that you gave, mm-hmm. If Caleb Porter could put 17 men behind the ball in the second half with a 1-0 lead, he was going to do it. So it was just like, you can have it. Ball's got cooties. You know, do whatever you want to. And I'm just trying to get out of town with either 1 point or three. And he got out of town with 3 points.
Yeah.
So, you look at the statistics, and you know, Ronnie Dyla mentioned to Maddie, full control of the second half. Absolutely true. And once again, you can be in control of a match and still not score goals, and you had that happen here this particular timeout. But once again, one of the things that that Ronnie Dyla told Maddie there at the end, making sure that they stay together as a team because of the promise that you're seeing offensively, even though it's the end result is not there. The end result has not been there. But for Ronnie Dyla, I think that the messaging to continue, and I'm anticipating that when we hear from players in the locker room for postgame, that you will hear those same things, is that they've got to stay together as a team. You're hearing that as a universal message. And I would rather hear that as a continued universal message than hearing Ronnie Dyla say that and the players say something that doesn't match that, because then you know that there's a lot of things that you've got to think about long term.
The thing that I'm having trouble coming to terms with, and we'll be able to talk more of this as we continue here on the full-time report, is standing behind performance will eventually lead to results, right? And that's what I'm now starting to have trouble grasping, is I just don't know how much I'm going to continue to buy that, because it's not two instances where you've outperformed an opponent and the result. I mean, you're looking at like 5 or 6 straight matches. Maybe with the exception of one in the middle there where you're like, you were very clearly the better team, and you've got one win. And now you have two wins on the season, but you've got the one win against CF Montreal. And ever since then, you felt like the better team, and it just hasn't worked your way there. And I don't know, I'm not losing faith by any stretch, but it is harder to continually defend the idea that it's going to come, things will even out over the course of the season, because it just hasn't started that way. It will, I think.
Well, but to your point, I mean, it's something that you're looking at here. You want to continue to carry what you have had. You want to carry those successes in learning philosophy and things like that. You want to carry those kinds of things with you. You don't want to just abandon what has gone on so far this year. I understand your point about gaining frustration over lack of results, knowing that you're the better side. Statistically, you've been the better side, but at the end of the day, stats don't win you games. It's goals in the back of the net. I understand where you're coming from there. So, I'm looking at what Ronnie Dyla has said, and I monitored the press conference before we came on. Once again, it was another 15 to 20 minutes in Ronnie's mind where they were good out of the blocks. And then, in his mind, the second half of the first half, so the second quarter, if you want to call it that, he thought they were poor in that 15 to 20 minutes, and that's why he made the changes.
Yeah, and let me just remark on that real quick, and I know we got to hit a break, and we'll have plenty of time to discuss this throughout. After the goal, the team completely let down.
Right.
After the penalty kick in the 36th minute, which we'll hear as part of the highlights, the only highlight,
I guess.
Yeah,
well.
The team was completely shut down for the next 10 minutes, and then somehow they counted six of stoppage. So that was a problem. There was, and we've seen it individually, I think, at times, just an emotional letdown from a mistake. This felt like a team letdown after conceding a goal, and a lot of that gets obviously paired with the discussion we're going to have on the other side about offsides and a goal being taken
and penalties called inside the 18 and consistency, and yes, all
we'll get into that, because I have some thoughts. I know Maddie felt different than I did about this. I'll see where you stand.
We need to roll through that too.
Coming up next on the Full-Time Report, we will talk about a goal that did and both didn't happen all at the same time, and then ultimately the one tally that stood, Carlos Heel with a penalty kick. That's on the other side. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I'm Abe Gordon. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium after a disappointing finish to a three-game homestand for Atlanta United. Able to go 1-1-1 on the homestand and finishing up with a loss to the New England Revolution today, 1-0. And just unable to muster, you were able to muster a goal, and I have some questions about that. It was taken off the board eventually by an offsides call.
Yeah, we'll
I want to see how you saw it, because I know what I saw and what I believe the rule to be. I want to see if you saw it differently. We also need to discuss how New England put one on the board, and we'll do that.
Yeah, we need to discuss that, too.
We'll check out the highlights here. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Despite New England's problems scoring goals in open play, there is no doubt that Carlos Heel is one of the better finishers in all of MLS. He's already won MLS Goal of the Week, Goal of the Match Day once this week. A beautiful bending, curling free kick.
Yeah, Red Bulls, yeah.
This one a little bit simpler from the penalty spot, the only highlight, low light, whatever you want to call it, presented by Scana.
Action at the goal to our right in the 36th minute. This will be New England's 8th shot of the game. As I said, Brad 0 for 1 this year. Heel is 1 for 1. De Silva blows the whistle. Heel straight behind the ball. Creeps up to it, shoots, scores. And we go from an apparent 1-0 lead for Atlanta to a 1-0 lead to New England. And has that not been the story of this Atlanta United team that has suffered every bit of bad luck you can imagine in their first 8 matches?
Yeah, an apt call there from Mike Conte. I agree with it. We're going to work in reverse, though. We're going to go from the penalty kick on backwards. Let's start. Brad Guzan guesses the right way. It's just a spectacular free kick. It's high. Guz has no shot. Like we said, Carlos Heel is one of the best finishers in that situation in the entire MLS. And I remember distinctly in a game last year, Carlos Heel right down on this goal to the right. It was a game Atlanta United won. I think it was 3-1. It was 3-0, though, until he had an absolute golazo in the 87th, 88th.
3-2 finish,
whatever it was. But he's punished you before, punished you again today. Well-taken penalty kick.
He is the leading goal scorer for New England this season.
He's even beaten out own goal.
That's exactly right. I was going to say, who is the second leading goal scorer for the Revs this year? OG with one.
And it's only one goal created on their own in open play.
Yeah.
Two penalty kicks for Heel the past this week and then 2 weeks ago, I think it was.
Yeah, Red Bulls.
And then your own goal as well.
All right, lay it on me.
It's the right call. It has to be called a penalty.
That's soft. It was soft.
So here's the thing, and you're going to compare it to other parts of play and other contact and how the referee's calling the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of that is relevant to this specific call. If you want to argue a different call needs to be made or not made, that's a different call. This call is a foul, and contact started in the box. The contact started in the box. The contact that created him to go down eventually occurred later.
Okay, so then
I saw it as a play that had to be called, is always going to be called, separate of any other call or non-call that is going on out there. That's how I see it.
Okay, so then if we take your logic and apply it to the situation. So first and foremost, I thought the call was soft. I thought it was. Yes, it was inside the 18, and barely so.
Barely. It was barely, but that is where the contact started.
From what I viewed, from the angles that I saw, it looked like it was barely inside the 18. So I will grant that as a part of this
Fair.
Argument.
Okay, yeah.
I thought that the call was a soft call for a penalty. So I agree with the idea that if you're calling it, it's inside the box. But
okay.
I disagree with the notion that it should have been a penalty. Along those lines,
yeah.
If you apply the foul call inside the 18 on Carlos Heel to award the penalty,
yep.
Then what I would have liked across the board in this match is the same kind of consistency in your whistles and your foul distribution. If you were the center ref in this case, I would have appreciated that as we'd have gone on in this match. I do not think that we got that in this match.
And I don't hate that argument. I don't hate that discussion or disagree with it. But I also can't let that be the reason that, in my mind, a clear penalty is not given. I think
I'm
talking about other calls that need to be made,
yeah.
As opposed to I'm saying you can't not call this one
right.
Because of that mindset.
Right. So I disagree that this should have been a penalty call. I agree though that if there was something going on, that if you were going to call it, it was inside the 18. So I get where you're coming from. I'm just looking for in my cruise coming from pro, I'm looking for consistency when it comes to how you were going to use your whistle. So if you're going to call something like that, mm-hmm. then you should be calling the Steon Gregerson incident too.
Right.
So that there's an iniquity here.
And I don't disagree with that, but I go back to what I said. I'm not letting a call or non-call in a separate part determine whether or not this one was. I'm always seeing this as a penalty. I do think there were issues throughout the game, and we'll let you have fair play on the referees throughout. Because
yeah.
I also want to go to the offsides.
Okay.
And,
all right, so we're going backward.
The overturn. That's right. We're working in reverse like Nas.
Listen to you.
Miggy puts a beautiful bending ball home,
mm-hmm.
Ultimately.
Whew.
They celebrate. They do their thing. And eventually, play gets held up before the kickoff, and it gets called back, and they're looking at it. A lot of people up where I was sitting wasn't sure what they were looking at. Let me just start there. I saw immediately what happened during the play, and I formulated my thoughts. This is live action, not on a replay. Live action, I formulate my thoughts of, okay, I actually don't think that's going to be offsides, and in my head, here's why. They go to replay it, checking for offsides. And a couple people are like, what are they even looking for? And I tried to explain, well, and the first ball before it got crossed over and blah, blah, blah. The way I see it, I don't believe it was ruled properly.
I don't believe
it was offsides.
Right.
Now, what I'm talking about is Pedro Amador received a ball that, in my belief, was a poor clearance. It was intentionally played by a defender. Now, the intent is what matters. The quality of the clearance does not matter. It was an intentional touch,
mm-hmm.
an intent to play a ball out of danger. The fact that he poorly played it right back into danger, in my opinion, should have negated the fact that Pedro Amador was in an offsides position. The last player to play the ball with intent was a defensive player, not one of Atlanta United's teammates. I was surprised that it was overturned. I knew that's what they were looking at. I don't believe that the intent was correctly applied there, and that was what was frustrating to me. How did you see it?
I'm with you, because what you were looking for here, if I am interpreting and or reading the rule correctly, there is the difference that you're trying to look at is the idea of just you're clearing the ball with intent versus just a reflex action to dispose of the ball and it goes wherever
or
it goes.
Deflection.
Or deflection. So in that particular case, then goal is scored. You go to VAR. It has to be a clear and obvious error by the center ref for it to be looked at. So what you are doing is you are trying to find a clear and obvious error that the play by the defender was a mistake called on the field. And so I think that what you're doing is you are looking at a very fine line of intent versus just clearing it to save your lines and save the, you know, and save your life basically from the possession with Atlanta United. That is a thin line to look at. And for it to be a clear and obvious error that ends up being overturned with the goal, that to me is – there are two aspects here that I have issue with. One, the fact that it was registered as a clear and obvious error, looked at in the booth by VAR, and the fact that you're looking at an action that is intentional or deliberate. That's what you're looking
at. Well,
I
think if they rule – just – I do want to clear – I want to attack one of your points very lightly.
Because it's deliberate action on the
ball. I think if
ball.
You rule that second part, mm-hmm. then you also are ruling the first part, right? If you're ruling that it was not an intentional play,
it's a
that
deliberate
it wasn't,
action.
Then yes, it would have been a clear and obvious error. My issue is not the overturning because of clear and obvious error. My issue is overturning because they ruled intent or non-intent. And I that's what I have a tough time
and there I think
to.
To that issue, I think what you're doing is you're trying to interpret someone else's thought pattern. I think that, you know, if you're the VAR in this case,
but and you're not wrong, but trying to write this up in the rule book is not where you need to be. It's what was it an action?
It's a deliberate action.
Was
deliberate
it an action?
Action on
right.
the ball.
And it doesn't feel like it should be that difficult to comprehend if it is or isn't. It wasn't a deflection. It didn't come off of him.
Mm-mm.
He attacked the ball, played it poorly. It's no different than a poor pass back to the goalie, in my opinion, that they get.
And therefore, as you're describing it, that is intent upon the ball. Therefore, intent equals deliberate.
That's how I saw it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should have been.
I'm with you in that. Yeah. So I think we're one for two.
We
here
are.
Today.
We're agreeing on this, and it's equally frustrating. When we come back here,
barely
full time report.
But that's it for this block.
There's still a couple more things we have to talk about, the officiating.
Mm-hmm.
I think a term you're going to hear in our next segment, persistent infringement,
yes.
might come up once
yes.
or twice. We also do have some sound from the players. Jay Fortune and Noah Cobb able to speak not too long ago. We'll hear from them and maybe a snippet from Brooks Lennon as well. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Jay.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson, a soccer down here. And, John, I want to get some more thoughts from you in a moment, but I do want to hear some thoughts from the players as well. Madison Cruz and Jason Longshore were doing some post-game duties downstairs, and they were able to catch up first with Noah Cobb.
Down in the locker room with Noah Cobb. Noah, just how you feeling after that?
Very disappointed. I mean, I thought for the most part we played them off the park and we walk away with 0 points, and it's tough to swallow for sure.
It's one of those games where a lot of things go against you. You hit the post a couple times. There's decisions that happen. Just the second half, it felt like it turned. Your inclusion was a big part of that. What is the next step for this team in your mind?
I think it's matching performances with points, and I think, you know, like in the second half we played so good, and we still walk away with 0 points. I mean, I think if you play that game 20 more times, we win every single time, and it's just. But you know what? We only play it this time, and it's about being clinical. It's about taking that 45, 60, 30, however many minutes we play well, and trying to get it to 90 minutes and do that week in, week out.
For fans on the outside and they see it, and I know, you know, everybody's feeling that frustration, what would you tell them about what the mood is within the locker room after a game like that and the mood to get things going in the direction that all of you want?
Yeah, we're as disappointed as you and more. Like, we feel it in the locker room. We're the ones experience it, and we're the ones that, you know, are working our butts off every single day to try to get points on the board, and it kills us when we don't. And because we know what a big club this is, and we know what a big part of the club the fans are, so we know when we can't do that, it's a big letdown. And I think, like, everyone, including the fans, us, we know how good we are. We just have to get to that point where we're matching points with performances.
Big week this week as you prepare for two on the road in Philly. You know how Philly can be a difficult place to play. What's the most important thing for the team to work on this week to get ready to get a result there?
I think it's just clearing our heads, especially early in the week. You know that this game's past us. The games come thick and fast, and we have to just it's next game mentality. And I think we have to learn from some of our mistakes in this game. And I mean it's a different opponent, but we can apply the same things because we know when we play well, the other team has to adapt to us.
Noah, thank you for the time. I'm sure I'm the last person you want to talk to right now, but I much appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
There you go, Noah Cobb, and I'm interested to see and hear how Jay sounds. He was down, and I think rightfully so, and not that you wouldn't expect him to
understandably,
be.
Understandably, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In first off, I'd have an issue if guys were chuckling it up in an interview post-game.
Yeah, you turn it into
match,
you turn it into open mic night at the chucklehead, then there's an issue.
We've seen that in other sports where guys happen to be caught laughing on the sidelines and they get shredded for it online. Yeah. This one affected him, and I'm glad to hear that, glad to see that. Obviously, wish it would have been a different result and you weren't having to reflect on an unfortunate performance, but it definitely affected, and he's right. When you do hear that, that's the first thing that worries me moving forward is, all right, don't let one loss, one bad performance. This wasn't even a bad – that's the thing that's so tough to reconcile with. It wasn't a bad performance. But you can't let one loss now affect you moving forward, especially as you go on the road. I want to hear from Jay Fortune as well. I know you showed me a stat. I responded to social media with a couple stats. About the physicality of this game. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, Matty Cruz caught up with Jay Fortune.
Jay, what was missing from the team tonight?
I think just the final product, just getting the ball in the back of the net. Had a lot of chances. Second half, they didn't have too much. But at the end of the day, it's based off who scores more goals. And they did the SA, and I think if we clean that up, it would have been a different game.
What was the message from Ronnie to you heading into the match when you subbed in?
You know, we had them under pressure. It's just kind of keep getting on the ball, switching it left to right, try and keep them pinned into their own half and go for the win, obviously.
Going into next week, especially going on the road to Philly, what is the focus, especially heading into next week into training?
I think more of a coach's question, but for me, just trying to get the winning mentality in our heads. In training, every game we play, wanting to win, wanting to compete and beat each other. And I think if we do that in training and transfer it onto the games, then it helps. But I think just wanting to win is the main thing.
John, I know there's not really much to say here, but just getting lucky. Like, it's just one of those things. And you see it in basketball, right? A guy's 0-for-7 from the three-point line heading into halftime. And you just tell him, you know,
keep shooting.
You tell him keep shooting, but your mindset is all he needs is to see one go in.
Yep, exactly.
And you thought you had that moment, by the way. Like, I'm sitting up there with Maddie, and I'm like, this game's over. Like, this game was over when Miggy curls this ball.
Absolutely.
Beautiful Golazo, by the way.
Yeah.
The game's over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to win this game 1-0, if not
3-0. Or you're going to get another.
Yeah, and, exactly. And they take it off, and as soon as they took it off, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. Because you just felt it drop. I don't know if the team had a drop on the field, but you're not far away from then, obviously, the penalty and a 1-0 deficit from a 1-0 lead,
right.
and you go from there. You have some issues. How much time do you need? Because we're already 2 minutes late for a break.
Take the break.
You want to take the break,
yeah.
And then on the other side, John Nelson goes ham once again. Can I say, is that fair?
We have luncheon meat up here?
There was turkey. I figured ham would go well. I don't know. They had turkey today. Look, we're going to break it all down. We're going to also continue to discuss what has been a frustrating homestand, a frustrating result for Atlanta United. But we also have to address some of the things they can't control, some of that being the officiating. We'll do that on the other side. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson. The full-time report continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United falls 1-0 here today to the New England Revolution. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten too many of those just yet. This year's donation total is currently $2,000, but plenty of opportunities remain, and we'll look forward to hopefully updating that number in a match sometime soon. We also need to hand out our man of the match. I neglected to do so early on as I saw just nothing but red, Fuhrer. So who do we have today?
Brad Kazan. 7.9 on SofaScore, the highest rating for an Atlanta United player on the day. Played the full 90. Six saves, goals prevented. So I guess that's the anti-XG, the minus XG. So a 0.76 there. Two saves from inside the box, 48 touches. 31 of 34 passing on the day, 91%. 8 of 11 on long balls on the day. He won a duel on the ground, by the way. So he's 1-for-1 on his ground duels. Fouled once as well. And that, because of all of those numbers, Brad Kazan is a player of the game over here on this side of the booth.
I think he was fouled a second time. They didn't call it, too. But that probably leads us into our next discussion. Today's word of the day, kids, is persistent infringement.
Persistent infringement.
What do you have on one of the most frustrating situations, not just in this match, but we've seen it from time to time across the MLS?
And that is one of the elements that is really, it really rankles me, and you have to kind of look at things in an even keel, because you don't want to sound like, you know, you're stomping your feet in a corner and, you know, you're trying to sit here and be like Veruca Salt in the Willy Wonka movie. You know, it's like, Daddy, I want it now. No. You separate from persistent infringement, there's a handball that wasn't called, but you're more than happy to chase after VAR on a goal with an alleged offside call, but you don't want to chase after a handball. Now, to persistent infringement, the words of the day, persistent infringement. I was looking at the numbers, and going into the fouls, 30 fouls called on the day. I do not have off instantly in front of me the average for Alexis Da Silva when it comes to the number of fouls he calls per match. 30 fouls called today. 10 of those on Atlanta United, which means, if my math is correct, that means that 20 of the 30 fouls on the day were called on New England. And in those 20 fouls, three yellow cards were issued on the day. One yellow card was issued to Atlanta United. Two yellow cards were issued on 20 fouls against the New England Revolution. And you were wondering at points, okay, well, if any kind of momentum is stopped, 15 feet later there's another foul. And you get back underway and you're trying to work on the ground and you end up with another foul and then momentum is stopped. It took this particular center ref a long time to actually sit there and administer one of those yellow cards for persistent infringement. And remember, it does not have to be the same individual fouling over and over and over again. It can be more than one individual over, you know, a perceived action over a certain period of time. But 20 fouls called on the day, two yellow cards. One of those sequences was because of persistent infringement, and you did get to see Alexis Da Silva, I believe, go 1-2-3, and then he shows the yellow card in that particular case. But over the span of the other fouls that could have been persistent infringement, you did not see any other action from this crew to lend itself to the idea of, okay, we're going to continue to foul Atlanta United over and over and over again and not have cards. And you're going to continue to do it because you want to push the envelope. I understand where you're coming from as a defense. You want to push the envelope and figure out, okay, where is my line here and how much can I get away with? Apparently today, the answer is a lot. So you only had the one instance where you were given a yellow for persistent infringement and it wasn't the individual who was continually fouling. So you take those three fouls out that Alexis Da Silva calls that led to one of the yellow cards. That means that 17 fouls on the board were still there for New England that only led to one yellow card. So the notion that just because you have persistent infringement, it's not tied to an individual fouling over and over and over. It is a mindset that New England employed today, and they were able to do it over and over and over again. And at the end of the day, you only have two yellow cards to show for it. You got out of town, and you got out of town with a lot of pluses on your side if you're Caleb Porter.
And what New England is doing is not taking hard fouls. They're not taking big fouls. They're taking a number of fouls. And the question remains, how do you both if you're the team, counter that, and if you're the head official, how do you control that? Is it a situation where Atlanta needs to meet or then exceed foul for foul, which is not what they did, right? 20 fouls for New England, as you mentioned, 10 for Atlanta United. And they're not. That's not really what they're built to do right now.
No, but you did see the moment with Mateus Click late.
Yeah, but he was immediately carded.
Right, and so once again, and that's the thing. Because so you have the first instance of Mateus Click. He comes in and
completely unnecessary foul on the sideline. Ball's not in play.
Right, and so he gets a yellow.
Yeah.
But you take that out once again. 9 fouls for Atlanta, no other cards. You have 3 fouls pulled away attached to the 1 yellow card for persistent infringement for New England. The same thing continues to happen. New England gets away with it for the duration of the match outside of those 3 fouls and the 1 yellow. 17 fouls left on the table and only 1 yellow card.
Is there a way to control – I guess what I'm asking, is there a way to control it without showing that first card? Is there a conversation that can be had to say, hey, guys, I see what you're
doing? There should be. You should if you are managing a match.
Ultimately, though, we've seen conversations between officials and players that lead nowhere, and it doesn't change anything until he reaches to the pocket.
But I think if you set the tone early of how you're going to navigate a match as a center ref, where you're not gonna take any perceived shenanigans one way or the other.
By the way, I would love to be a center ref because I would.
Oh, you'd be a blackjack dealer out there.
No, I used to be a soccer official. I was certified and all that stuff.
But I think the key here is, and this is a universal thing, it's not just today about, you know, today's match in Major League Soccer. I think that if you are a center ref, and I think that if you set a tone early about how you are going to navigate a match where you have one team that wants to muck it up, they want to be physical, they want to foul, they want to knock you off your pins, they want to stop your momentum, whatever cliche about offensive, you know, statistics and offensive approach you want to have, you need to have a center ref who understands the temperature of a match, how one team is trying to approach it, and then stop it. And that is not the case today. It is not the case more often than not in Major League Soccer. And it's something I think that needs to be addressed where, and I don't know how you do it. I know it's like, do you go to the big pro luncheon and sit there and say, well, you, sir, need to, you know. But the larger thing is here, in these matches with these officials where you have teams that are having, you know, that are, you know, points challenged or offensively challenged or whatever, and they want to try to muck up a match, then what you need to do is you need to make sure that if they're going to muck it up, you navigate it, but have them understand, all right, you're going to muck it up and navigate it this way, then I'm going to sit here and start calling fouls, and then once I start calling fouls, understand that that's my bar. But when that bar was set, you didn't continue to keep that bar. Any kind of momentum that Atlanta United tried to build was stopped in this particular case. And so,
especially the last 30 or 35 minutes.
Right, and like that goes back to my original point here on the full-time report, where if Caleb Porter could play with 17 behind the ball, he would. And so it's just it is one of those things where if you can navigate a match and have the players understand early on that this is how I'm going to call this match, it frankly just wasn't called.
Yeah, and it wasn't a situation in the first half that I can recall where he pulls a guy or multiple guys Mm-mm. aside and says, hey, Mm-mm. no more, we're not doing this, and if I see it happen again, you're getting, shown a color. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen in this instance. They go to half, and it picks right back
up. And this is my charge for today. For anyone that wants to watch matches tonight in Major League Soccer, tomorrow in Major League Soccer.
I think I'm a little done with soccer. I think I might be.
Oh, bite your tongue,
after
sir.
This one.
Bite your tongue. But anyone that wants to watch matches later tonight and tomorrow across the board, what I would ask, my charge going forward is this. Watch matches, and if you have no vested interest in a match, watch the match and see how the center ref and the officiating crew navigate a match and how they work their way through it and see what the consistencies are, what the inconsistencies are from crew to crew and from center ref to center ref, and just understand that persistent infringement, we see it more often than not being called. as something that we see here in Major League Soccer. And I think that it's just the consistency of the crews and how you navigate. Look, if you're going to set a tone early, set a tone early, fine. If you're going to call it tight, call it tight. But call it tight early, call it tight late. Don't change your mind and try to overcorrect at halftime.
Now, and what you're suggesting also goes back to if you're going to call that foul against Carlos Hill, well, not against him, but committed on Carlos Hill, then you also have to call
the Gregerson.
Some other.
You've got to look at the Gregerson just as much.
And it what really boils down to, whether you're going to be light, whether you're going to be harsh, just have consistency.
Correct.
And that's part of the problem. All right, when we come back, we will talk about the two-game road trip Atlanta United is about to embark on, including a questionable transaction made by their next opponent, the Philadelphia Union, and what that means for Atlanta United's chances next week. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I'm Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And it's as we wrap up a match day here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. And the homestand has thankfully come to an end, 1-1-1 after a disappointing result today. And you are going out on the road two games against two difficult opponents. You get to Orlando City later this month, but before that, you are taking a trip to Subaru Park,
Chester,
to take on the Philadelphia Union. And Philadelphia has been.
See, I like how you do that. It's like you're going to Philadelphia.
Philly,
you're going Philadelphia. You're going to Philadelphia.
I almost always say Philly Union, so it caught me off guard, I think, that I said the whole city name. Philly sent out one of the more dangerous attacking players in all of MLS, Daniel Gazdag. He's a member of the Columbus Crew now.
Yeah.
What do you see from Philly that maybe walked them towards that decision?
Ty Barabone.
And how does it impact this game next week?
Nah, I mean, I think that they're confident, and Bradley Carnell is confident in what he's seen so far in Ty Barabone this year. And you're hoping that I think you only have one more international window left, but Ty Barabone's come out of the blocks, and you're comfortable with what you have, and when you can change Daniel Gazdag to Columbus. Columbus was looking for. Columbus hasn't replaced the scoring that left in the off season, and Philadelphia seems to be comfortable with where they are. Gazdag was asked about it, and he said, "Yeah, this interest that I heard about it only happened like in the last week, and then things happened pretty quickly." And so Gazdag goes to Columbus to now help them out offensively, because Columbus was somewhat toothless in the attack. They weren't really averaging a whole lot of goals per se, so far this season. So Columbus was looking for scoring help. They go to Philadelphia. Hey, what's it going to be, to grab Daniel Gazdag for you? Philly's like, well, this, and this, and that's all figured out. And so Gazdag's now in Columbus, and Bradley Carnell in Philadelphia is comfortable with what he's got with the weapons he has so far. And so if you're comfortable with your approach and you're comfortable with your dudes and you think that Daniel Gazdag is expendable, then you're going to make seven figures for your club, and you're going to make sure that the offense is what it is. My biggest question going forward for Philly is that money that you're bringing in for Gazdag on the transfer, what do you do with it? Are you reinvesting it? Are you pushing it forward? Infrastructure, which has been known to happen with transfers in the past, or are you going to reinvest it in the club and trying to bring in other resources, e.g. players? How are you going to take that money? Are you just going to apply it to your bottom line, or are you comfortable with the folks that you have with Philadelphia Union 2 and your academy that you're bringing up through the system to help out with what's going on right now and the season that you're having with Philadelphia, where right now in the Eastern Conference, they are out of the blocks doing very, very well. And it's, some folks are sitting here saying that Daniel Gazdag to the Crew is a no-brainer right now. And if you're Philly, you're third in the conference. You played seven matches. You're at 4-2-1. And you can make that kind of a deal where you can sit there and send somebody to the top team in the Eastern Conference who is 2 points better than you. But if you're confident in that and you're one of the highest scoring, you're the number three offense in Philly. You're the number three offense in the Eastern Conference, and you're comfortable with that, then, yeah, you'll go ahead and do it. But I want to see where the money goes with the deal that they made for Gazdag.
And the final thought here in regards to Atlanta United heading out on a road trip, and it's something we definitely have heard discussions on in other sports, just getting away from home, potentially. Heck, there was a time where Ohio State, who ended up winning the college football championship, there was a suggestion that their first playoff game might be better served outside of the horseshoe because of how the fans had reacted to them. Now, the fans here aren't turning on Atlanta. They're not getting booed, stuff like that. But the idea that you are away from home, maybe that helps refocus, and that's something that they're going to need because they have got to find a way to ultimately finish their chances, and hopefully they can do that next Saturday in Philly.
11 goals scored, 13 against for Atlanta United right now. Once again, 10th in the East after today with all the other action awaiting them right now. 2 points out of eighth, 3 points out of being as high as sixth right now, and that's where you are with the eight matches in the barn here in 2025.
Let's hold on that for a second.
Sure.
Because as we wrap up, I know Mike Conte is the numbers are the numbers, right? The facts are the facts. It is the worst start in Atlanta United history through eight games. It was the worst start in Atlanta United history through five games. Like, you could throw out all you want to throw out there, but and look, most of the teams haven't played yet, so their points haven't been added to. It's been bad, but you're a good team, and you're right there, and we're going to have this discussion potentially all season long with the Braves. We're about to see the Atlanta Hawks try and make some noise out of a 7 or 8 seed. And I think the talent is so high on this team that you just can't feel like this start, a poor start, is burying you, because all you've got to do is get in and give yourself a chance. I think we saw that a couple seasons ago. Ultimately, you didn't make it. But even last year, you took out Inter Miami and you were playing a team that eventually went on to MLS Cup. Just get to what you need to do and then hope to find some form once you're in the playoffs. And so it is frustrating. It's been a slow start, but nothing is lost yet. The season's not over. And again, the optimistic part of this is you are sitting here saying we have outperformed almost all of these teams. And if the results ever do start to line up with the performances, you're going to start to roll off 3 points. You're going to look like Rory McIlroy on the front nine if you're paying attention. Mm-hmm. And so that's what has me excited. Hopefully it can turn around away from home next Thursday. I want to thank Dom Cherosky, our producer, back in studio. Special thanks, of course.
Thank you, Dom.
To Jake Cook as well, on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, and Madison Cruz and John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. Check. I am Abe Gordon. Join us again at 6:30 p.m. next Saturday, April 19th, for our next broadcast, as Atlanta United is going to take on the Philadelphia Union. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 0 and the New England Revolution 1. That's going to do it for the full-time report right here on 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.